Hello out there, Talamere Cromwell. This is Crown Riri, aka. I'm sorry. Hello out there, Talamere Cromwell. This is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri. This is Conversation Sunday. It has been a while since I have been with you guys, to all of my readers out there. So I'm glad to be here today. I have a wonderful guest on the line. We're just chit-chatting before, and it sounds like we have like a lot in common when it comes to having conversations. So, do you mind introducing yourself to the crowd ones out there?
Thank you so much, Rebecca. So my name is Sandy Purcell. I live in British Columbia, Canada, and I just published a book which will be out about a week before November, and it's called Believe. I have published a book before, and it was more or less about my life, but this one is really dear to me, and it's mostly like just towards children.
Love that. Now I know you were saying that you live in Canada. How is the weather there? Because I'm in Florida.
You know what? It is beautiful for October. Oh my goodness, it's just gorgeous. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, we're getting a little bit of after the Hurricane Ian left, we got like a little breeze, so it's still like here. With the weather changing and everything. So I'm sure in Canada it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's actually we're all waiting for it to change because sometimes whenever it's like this, it can change like instantly, like within a week. Like back in actually 1984, when my youngest daughter was born, we had this kind of weather, and within a week it was like minus 25.
Oh, wow.
So we're busy getting our firewood in right now.
I'm sure. When you said that, I thought about when I stayed in Alaska for a couple of years and I was like younger, and it was like getting firewood ready, plugging up your cars, preparing for the snow, and yeah, I remember those days.
Oh yeah. As soon as snow comes, we're getting ready for Christmas. I'm
Yeah.
excited.
Sure, you're looking forward to it. So, may I ask, what inspired you to become an author?
I've always loved to read, and every year that passed, of course, my selection of books changed. And as I grew up, I would start reading more about self-help. And I started realizing that, these people have stories, and they're very inspirational stories, and it's their personal stories. And something that I discovered was we all have a story inside of us, and we don't know how our story will inspire others. So many people go, I could never write a book. I don't have anything interesting to write about. And I said, you know what? You do. Like my daughter, well, my husband and I's daughter, I should say. Our daughter is going to be 39. And when she was 29, she was diagnosed with MS. And like she's had trials. Like her daughter has spinal bifida, and her son was born a clubfoot. So, like I tried to encourage her and say, your story matters. Everybody matters. And it encourages other people.
Yeah, that's
So.
very true. Yeah, I've actually started reading self-help books myself. Right now I'm reading the Atomic Habits, which is really good talking about like habits and creating them. But just that correlation of how you can read somebody else's story, like relate to it, and it's like, oh yeah, I've been there before. Like you said, the self-help books is like, oh, like this is actually helping me, if I practice what they're telling me to do. So that's very important to like tell those stories and inspire others.
Yeah, it's a you're so right, and I just think it's so important, like to share our story, share our life experiences with people.
Yeah, very important. And it allows us, as the writers to release like that story out of us and pass it on to someone else, for sure. Yeah. And I'm saying me, I used to write like in high school like all the time. I'm trying to get back to that. But yeah, that was like my way of like communicating to myself and like to others. So definitely understandable. So from there, you wrote the book Believe. Now this is a child's story. So what inspired you to write it for children?
Okay, now, I've always wanted to write a children's book. And only, well, like it started like when I started having grandkids. And I, every year that went past, I thought, you know, I want to write a children's book because I want them to have tools. And like so many people go, oh, I gotta go outside to find myself. And I go, you know what? You already have the gifts. You don't have to go outside of yourself. Our gifts are inside. We just have to try and figure out how we go in there and get them. And I started looking, especially the last couple of years with all of this stuff going on in the world, I started feeling that, you know, this is the time to write it. But I never knew, like, I just wanted to help kids, but I never knew, like, the storyline. And I didn't know a title. So I used to pray all the time and say, God, give me what I'm supposed to say. Like, if you want me to share my story, then give me the words. And actually believe, there's two stories in the one book. And the first one is about a little girl named Santa. And it's actually my story about my childhood. And so it's really, really dear to me. And that's why it's so easy for me to talk about it, because it's been my experience as a child growing up. And I never realized till, oh, it was only 6 months ago, because it's about a little girl with a mirror. And I never realized until about, I would say about 6 months ago, that I had a big, strong belief system when I looked in the mirror about myself. So it's really good.
I love that because as children, like we grow up with, this big confidence, but as we get older, sometimes like it gets smaller because we're allowing like more of the world to like tell us how we're supposed to look and what are we supposed to believe and like what is perfection. So I think that's very important. Was that like a topic in your in belief about that, just like learning as a child?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And like it goes back, like I wrote back about like and I don't know how, like it was just like how the mirror all of a sudden about the little girl in the mirror, Santa, all of a sudden it just came to me and I started thinking, wow, like I'm gonna write this about kids who their self-confidence, their self-image is so low. And of course, like you say, it goes back to their belief systems in their selves. And we learn that belief system from what others talk about to us as we're growing up. And they don't realize, and it's not their fault. And I'm a parent, and I didn't realize until I wrote this book. I sat back and had to self-reflect and go, wow, did I do that to my own daughters? Not even realizing some of the words and not assuring their confidence in themselves and letting them fail, but be there when they fall and go, it's okay. Because if you fail, then it means you tried. And we've always been taught if you fail, you're a failure. And everything is about, well, what would other people think? So if you dress like that, like me, of course, I wear black all the time. And I, my whole life, I love black. And I would be like kind of criticized because my wardrobe was all black. I do have a parts. But you know, just things like that. And like just like the way your self-image is actually how you feel on the inside is what reflects out. So if your self, like just inside of yourself, your self-confidence is low, then your self-image is going to be low. If and you can see the difference in children who are raised different. And I see, like I have six grandkids now, and this is something, especially since I wrote this book, I really, really stress and I really try and build their confidence up. About, you know, be happy with yourself. Don't have to do what everybody else tells you to do, other than, of course, be good and stuff and be kind. But if you want, like I always say, what do you want to do when you grow up? You don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like Papa. You don't have to be like your mom. Like, do what you need.
I love and especially because when you're saying that, think about like my nephew. He is Oh my gosh, he'll be 15 next month. But like his way of dress is different from like when we grew up, and my sister's learning how to like embrace that because growing up, it was like how your child that's like a reflection of you. But now it's like, we're in a time of expression and, you wear what you want to wear. And she's learning how to like have that balance. So yeah, it's a lot for kids, I think now. Like I said, I don't have kids, but just looking at my nephew and being around children that, we have like the social media now, and then we have us as family members like trying to raise and, teens or have access to more stuff now and children. So yeah, I can just imagine looking in the mirror and just trying to believe like your natural belief that you are good enough and you are a wonderful person.
Exactly. And some people have a hard time. So there's actually two books in one, like I had mentioned. The first one is about a little girl named Santa, and it has to do with her in the mirror on how sometimes like with me, I got to the point where I wouldn't even look in the mirror, because when I did, I would hear the other people's words. When I looked in the mirror, I wasn't seeing my own reflection. I was seeing the reflection that other people were telling me to see. I wasn't, I like when you were talking about like your nephews and expressing themselves, and I'm thinking, that's so true. Like, we need to let them discover themselves and express themselves and explore who they want to become, right? And I think that's so important. And then so Santa kind of goes into kind of a depressed state where she'll hide, run and hide even away from the mirror, and she doesn't turn the lights on anymore and stuff. And because that's my life story. That's how exactly how I was for years. I dreaded every morning to stand in front of the mirror and my hair and brush my teeth and stuff. And sometimes I would shower in the dark because I was actually scared to come out and see myself in the mirror, because it was the words of the other people that I was believing, instead of looking in the mirror and starting at my top of my head and looking in my at myself and go, this, I am important, and this is who I am, and I need to embrace that. I'm not who everybody else thinks I am. It's more important to say who I think I am. And then, so there are other story in there is a story about a little boy named Danny. And I came up with that because we all play the what if games with ourselves. So that holds us back, right? Like, how many times that we're letting fear take over? Well, what if that happens? What if it doesn't? So this story here's it's a beautiful story about a mother's love. And it's about a mom who nourishes him by saying, it's okay, but what if it doesn't? Then how would you? So you, and that, and it goes through the whole story of the what ifs. And then it's a really, really, and it's an inspiring story too.
I love it because when you're speaking about what if, I have anxiety, and that's like I always feel like my 3 a.m. morning question when I wake up in the morning. It's like, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if that happens? Which is one of the reasons why it inspired me to go back to school. Because I was like, well, what if I just go back to school? Like, what's the worst that can happen? It's like my third time, might as well. So,
Awesome.
but that was me like embracing like the what if. And now, like I said, when I wake up, I'm like, good morning, anxiety. What do you want to think about today? Because I'm going to think about something, so I might as well embrace it. So yeah, all that is like very, very important.
You know what I love what you just said is that in the mornings you embrace that. I just love that because I used to do the same thing. I used to wake up right away is what if, because you're playing out the day and you're making up stories that haven't even happened yet. Now, what I do is I start with gratitude, because when I have gratitude, fear can't get in, right? So that's what I'm trying to encourage in this book is with the kids is when you first get up, is be grateful. And then, what do you want to do today? I always tell, like, whenever I teach my programs, I always tell even adults, every morning, pretend that you have present at the end of your bed. And when you wake up, that is your gift for the day. And you open it and you're grateful for the gift. And then use that day to, like you say, embrace it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I actually just started doing my I have a book called Okay, I'm Thankful, and it's like a gratitude, like every day, like you write down what you are thankful for. And I think I started like 3 weeks ago, so this message is definitely on time for me.
Yeah,
But
and
you're
you know,
right, like it eases down everything when you actually write down like what you're grateful for, and it's like, oh, like I'm surrounded by thankfulness. And you know, having that on your mind as you go throughout the day, and like you said, you know, that opening up the present, and you're in the present. So yeah, thank you.
yeah, I love that. And you know, it
Love
puts
it.
you in the right energy.
Yeah.
It's all about energy. Everything is about energy. Like, it's how the energy you feel inside yourself about yourself. And if you wake up and the right away you're in gratitude, you kind of push the fear aside, like the what if, right? Before you even start your day. It's I am grateful. And then I always write it in my journal what I'm grateful for. And then I always say, you know, because whatever I'm thinking I am, that's who I'm going to become that day. So, and I always tell my grandkids when they get up, I said, you got to be happy today. Wake up happy. 'Cause if you wake up mad, I said, that's who you're going to become today. So, and there some days, okay, it's a chore, but
which is understandable. They're human.
yeah. And right away, I just tell them, what are you going to be grateful for? And then when they first moved in, they're kind of like, huh? And I go, well, you're awake for one thing, you're with Nana. And you get to go to school, meet new friends and stuff. So it's a I really see the transition in them, and it's really nice.
Awesome. Now my next question I had for you was how important is it to practice self-love and self-care? But from what I'm getting, it's very important. And the reason I ask this question now is because, you know, during COVID, all we had was like ourselves. And we had to like learn how to live with ourselves and have a relationship with ourselves and love ourselves. I personally had to realize that there are some days where I don't want to be with myself. I need like a break from myself, which is why I started the word selfcation, which is a vacation from myself with myself. But on the outside of that's my part of my self-love, is allowing myself to be away from myself, within myself, if that makes sense.
I love that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
during COVID and shutdown, I was home by myself with my, at the time, was 2 dogs, and I was like, I have never been like by myself like for this long. I'm transitioning from working in office to working at home, and I was like, I have to like get to know myself like now, or I'm gonna go crazy. So, going back to this, asking you, during that time, were you focused on self-love and self-care, or just realizing like who you were?
You know, that's actually a really good question. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes it's really hard to be alone with ourselves. And I think a lot of it is that, like with me, it was actually very, very rewarding because I got to know myself and I got to really, really pay attention to, again, my energy. So if I was having a bad day, I couldn't blame on anybody else that was around me because there was nobody around
That
me.
is so true.
So, if I was having a bad day, I would actually have to take a step back and go, okay, Sandy, you are responsible for you. So why are you feeling this way? What kind of energy are you in? Do you like this energy? Because it's not serving you. So if you don't like that energy and you need to switch it and go back to your gratitude and start being grateful for things, because then you can feel, I felt my energy change. And but it was really good because it really made me stop and realize that sometimes, yeah, I have an attitude. And I was
Was me.
own parents sometimes. I could actually hear my parents' voices saying, you better snap out of this.
Yeah, that was me. I was like, why am I so angry today? It's only me in the house.
Then, you know, once you realize that, okay, that I'm feeling angry, and even if you don't realize and you can't pinpoint why, the biggest thing is find the energy and go, I don't like this because it's serving me.
Oh, I
Most
love
of the time, it's not serving you.
that.
So you need to switch it And it's amazing. Like, even if you just get on a phone call, or I would get on a Zoom with somebody, and COVID was really hard because I'm a people person, and I going downtown, it was hard because the masks, I like to smile. And I was not from I guess a huggy family, so that was okay.
Yeah, same here. I am, believe it or not, I am a introvert. So working at office like was my social time was like, I'm at work, I'm social. When I go home, I go home. So to figure out like how to like separate both, where it's like I'm working at home and I'm at home, and it's like that communication is smaller because you're not talking face to face to your coworker. You're popping them up on IM or doing that. And like you said, like the Zoom was nice, but it was like I felt like I was craving to be like an extrovert for like a couple of hours.
Because we feed off each other's energy, right? And that it's like plugging us into a battery. So that's exactly what it's like. But one thing I did notice is that I it was really good for me because I started letting that inner child come out. Every one of us has that inner child, and we suppress it so much because of how we're raised. Right, and you have to act that way because what if you act this way? What will people think of you, and stuff? And now, like when I was doing my Zooms, I enjoyed it, but as soon as the Zooms were up, man, I had music going and I was dancing and I was laughing like a little. Sometimes I go, "What are you laughing about? There's nobody else here." But then once we were allowed to go out and communicate again and have that personal connection again, then I would not allow myself to go back into that. I allowed that little girl to still come out. And
Love it.
sometimes my grandkids think I'm crazy because some mornings when they wake up and I can just feel the energy, and I thought, we need some more better energy in here without Nana, and without Nana going, you guys be happy. I would just play music. And then my daughter and I, because that's how my daughter was raised, I played music and that's how they woke up. I didn't wake
Awesome.
them up in the morning. I just had music playing and I would start singing and dancing in the house. I forgot about that until I had these grandkids here. And I thought, man, like I need to go back to that when I was younger and didn't care and have fun and laugh, because when you allow that inner child to come out, some people go, I love that energy.
I love it. And that's so true. Like I always say when I'm speaking to authors of children's books that a child's book is so important because it reminds us of our inner child, but it also reminds us of like our imagination and our freedom that we used to have. And like to like whenever I'm feeling like I cut on my music, I just dance around the house and it's like that freedom. And I think like last year, like my dad had like recordings of me. I was like a dancer when I was like younger. Like any party, like I was like turned up, like dancing. And he had shown me like a video when I was like 5 or 6. And I was so free back then. And it's like, just that moment of coming to and be like, okay, I can get back to that. That's my inner child. She's with me. She's right here. Calling the music, let's dance and let's have that moment of relief. So yes, very true.
And another thing about the inner child, which I love, is it's okay for the inner child. Like when I'm teaching my programs, I tell adults, it's okay to allow that inner child to come out and have feelings and cry, because it's all about the feelings. Because the feelings tell us what we're thinking, right? And the feelings is what kind of actions we're going to do, and then the actions tell us what kind of results we're going to get. So I tell people, it's okay to cry. It's okay to not understand. And it's not life sometimes throws us in different directions. And we just got to be like grateful for something in those situations. And I even tell them, if we don't like the way that we look at things, then we need to change it. Change the way, not change the situation, but change the way we look at them.
And we have, sometimes we forget, like we have that control to at least do that part. Like we always think about like what we don't have control of. We is very limited of the stuff that we do have control over, but looking at something differently is something that we definitely have control over.
Exactly. And you're so right. Like we have, we don't have control over everything, but we have control over if we respond or we react to things.
Yeah,
And
very
it all
true.
depends on your energy, our gratitude. If we're gonna be telling that, like I sometimes I have to tell that little girl inside of me, it's okay. I'm gonna protect you, and I'll take care of you, right? Because that's when the fear comes in, and sometimes that inner child comes out, and I can tell because if I get scared, I go, it's not me, it's that child inside of me that's fearful. So I have to tell my child, it's okay. We got
Very
this. We're
true.
gonna do this together,
Yeah,
right?
I love it. Yeah, sometimes I go to counseling and my counselor was saying like when you make a decision, think about like your inner child and you know that helps. And that definitely helped me like a lot. It's like, would you want your inner child to be in the situation? And I was like, no, I don't. And she's like, well, there go your answer. Like, get out of that situation. So yeah, it's very true. Love it. So what would you want children and adults reading believe to take away from your published work?
What I really, the message that I'm trying to get on, like, oh, there is that again. I am just a messenger. And these are stories that I want people, and children to start loving themselves. I want to be able to share my stories with them, for them to realize that they too have stories and that they matter, right? And that, I just want them to have faith that things will work out, and faith in themselves. And I believe in God, and I believe that, we do have to put that, and ask also for guidance.
I
But
love it.
like I really want people to look at, like, read this and go back, like, for an adult to go back to their childhood years and go, this is where it all began. These are the beliefs that I had when I was growing up. It doesn't mean that I have to believe them now, and it doesn't, and even about yourself, and challenge your beliefs as not like just challenging them and say, well, where does this belief come from about myself and about what I believe in other things? Like, it's okay.
Very true. 'Cause we get like just like so influenced by like everything that we like we forget that root core, that one seed that was planted when we were children. That's very true.
And I love that when you said about the seeds, the that's something that I really am passionate about, is that we are, it doesn't matter whether we have children or not, everything that we come into contact with, we leave that, like, we leave a seed in them. We leave that because it is, like, what kind of impression are we leaving them? And are we leaving them with them an impression of increase to make them feel better about ourselves? Because I feel that our purpose on this earth is to serve others. And it's
Very
because,
true.
because when you're serving others, and I'm serving others, I mean as a smile, as an encouragement, acknowledgement, saying, good job. And or I just believe in you. And like I also teach. I'm also I'm an instructor. I teach the big semi trucks. And I teach and test them. And so most of my students are men, and it was a big challenge to get, like, to do this for a woman. I don't teach them to drive, but I teach them the braking system and the air system. And it's so rewarding, because when I teach a class now that I've been doing this for years, I actually can spot people who have very low self-confidence, and that I was placed in their path to brace them and to build them up and
Love it.
encourage them that, you know what, it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 50 and you're taking this course with me, but you know what? It's okay. You're going to be fine. Believe in yourself. Everything is about believing in yourself. And for instance, I had a lady, this is her second class that she came. She cried the whole time.
Oh,
And today
wow.
had no, and so I took her aside and I talked to her, and She texted me this morning and said I passed. And I was,
Awesome.
it made me feel good as the teacher because I know I did my job. But I'm just so proud of her. And when I tell my students, I'm proud of you, you would be amazed at how many of them will say, I've never had anybody tell me that.
Aww. Yeah, especially growing up. Yeah. I'm just taking like all that in. That's, yeah.
Grown adults like that will say that. And some of them are 50. They're not that much younger than me. And they call me their mom. They'll go, you're like my mother. I wish my mother was like that. And I go, your mother
Aww.
was. But you guys got to remember, like my mom and dad were not very outgoing, but I knew they loved me. It's
Yeah.
just a different era, right? And
Yeah.
we have to learn this as a child. We have to learn because we like I never grew up with hugs. I never grew up with I love yous. And I had a hard time transitioning that with my two girls. But now I have no problem saying I love you after all these years. And I say it all the time with my grandkids. So my grandkids are being raised with the hugging, the I love you and stuff. And like I tell them, you know, it's nothing wrong with
Yeah.
it's just different. But if we like, we really have to encourage our children that when and acknowledge them and say, you know, you're loved. You're smart. You're beautiful. You're, yeah, just acknowledge them, right?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, I'm not a big hugger. my coworker, when my sometimes my manager, like, she gives out hugs, and one day I didn't even notice it until, like, my coworker was like, look at your body tensing up as she walk around and give people hugs. And I was like, huh? And she was like, look at your shoulder. I was like, oh my goodness. And she was like, you know she's gonna hug you. And I was like, I know. She was like, your body's like coming into like, I think it's like I was like going like into like my turtle shell. Like, that's not like the way that I, and my mom was very affectionate with us, but I was like, you know, I'm good. But like, I'm learning, like, but when I tell people that, you know, out of respect of my space, but I find like different ways of showing like affection. And it's not like you said, for me to communicate that, like, hey, I'm not like a big hugger, but this is like what I do to show like I appreciate you, you know, being in the space. And on top of that, COVID just happened 6 feet apart, so.
You know, it's so true. Yeah, like my mom was never a hugger, but she showed everybody she loved them by cooking for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we'd show in different ways, right? And
Yeah.
that's why when I started teaching the adults this program, like this air break course, it really opened my shell up. Like I had to get out there, and because it was about them, it wasn't about me. I again, now was just the messenger giving them the message of being the teacher, but
Right.
it was me encouraging them. It was everything in the background. Right.
Yeah.
It's more important for me to boost them up. And because when you boost them up and you don't make it about you and you boost them up and you tell them, you know, like you're proud of them and they can do this and stuff, it just changes the energy. And pretty soon it's like, I can do this.
Yeah. And that's how like all our mindset should be. But like you said, it takes from planting that seed and nurturing it and watering it and allowing it to grow in its own space and take up its own space to do that. So that's very true.
Is
Yeah.
so true. And you know, we don't think anything of watering our flowers,
Yeah.
keeping them blossoming, beautiful. We need to do that with our children. We
Yeah.
need to nourish them. We need to keep them watered with positive words and encouragement and love and yeah.
Very
So
true. Yeah. I am. I just became a plant mom, so anytime anybody's talking about plants, I'm like, yes, I
I have
So
our
yeah.
the only plant I have is a Christmas cactus, and it seems to be doing good. And I baby it because it's my
Yeah.
late mother-in-law. I love it. I think
Aww.
so much. My other ones are all artificial because I'm yeah. Maybe that's a life lesson I need to nourish it. So this is good. This is a good lesson for me to try and keep this plant alive.
Yeah, my great grandmother gave me one of her big plants. I was like, this is for me. And she was like, yeah, you can have it. And I was like, okay. So I've been like taking like extra care of that one. I'm like, this is like a generational thing. It's
You know,
gotta
people
keep you
talk to
alive.
your plants. People
Yeah.
talk to their and stuff. And like when they start blooming, they'll go, "Oh, you're so beautiful," and stuff. Okay, I do, but
I do the
don't
same thing. I'm
make
like,
it on
oh,
everybody.
yeah, I do. I'm like, oh my God, look at you guys. Like, it's like, and I get so excited. Like, when it's like water day, I'm like, it's water day. So, yeah, I get it.
And that's how we need to be with our children, and even just not our children, but other people, right? Many of us have those negative stories and the self-doubts and the what ifs in our and so ingrained in us. So we need to release them. We need to get like we can't like I just tell people you can't really you got to replace them with the things you want, right? Because they're in their database. So we have to just replace them with better, different things.
Right, very true. So from there, I would ask my guests to share with me like a crown moment. I define a crown moment as when your heart and your crown aligns and you have like that aha moment, as Oprah calls it, or like a life lesson. Do you mind sharing one with us?
When I read that question, I have to be honest. I was reading my questions to my husband, and I said, the only question that I'm going to have a hard time with is that very last question." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Because it is so dear to me that I said I hope when she asks me that I don't start crying because it's such an emotional thing for me." So, that moment, what you're talking about, that crown moment, is when I held that pen in my hand, I put it on my paper, and I remember telling my husband, I feel like now is the time. I feel like that I'm going to be able to write this story." And he looked at me and he goes, "What are you going to write about it?" And I said, "You know what? I'm just going to let the pen take over." And I did. I sat there, and this is no word of a lie. Anybody can ask my husband, he'll tell you exact same story, that it was like an intervention. Because I put and I'm not a computer person, so I had my pen in my hand and my piece of paper, and I just started writing, and the words just came to me, and it was all about this little girl named Santa, and the Santa is a nickname that my uncle and aunt gave me when I was a little tiny girl, because their kids couldn't say Sandy, so they said Santa. And even to this day, my uncle passed away a couple years ago, but my aunt still calls me Santa, and I'm 15, and she still calls me Santa. And when she writes me a letter, it's "Hi Santa," or a text, "Hi Santa." So when I was trying to think of her name, that was the first name that came in. And when I was writing that, the words were coming so fast that my hand was. I actually had to put the pen down and shake my hand. And my husband goes, "What's wrong?" And I said, "The words are coming so fast, Danny." I said, of course, Danny is the little boy in the book, so I put his name in. And because I got more books to continue on, and it's about their journey together after that. Yeah, it's a continuation. But this, when I finished writing, I sat back and he goes, "So what's your story about?" I read it to him, and I'm not joking. I was crying so hard that I could barely read him my book, and it took me about a half an hour to write that whole book. That's when my hand was cramping, and when I finished, I was crying so hard. And he looked at me and he goes, "This is powerful." And I said, "This is what kids need to know. Kids need to know what I went through." I said, "Because if I am 58, and it was only about 6 months ago, out of all these years, that I actually was able to look in the mirror and stand in the mirror with the lights on and go, 'You know what? You are loved.'" And write down, and I would write on the mirror what I loved about myself. And in my journal, I would write a love letter to myself and say, and I also wrote a love letter from God saying what he loved about me. So all of those things are in my book, and all those little things help me through that. And when I finished this, I was just so overwhelmed that this was the gift, and it's going to help so many, not just kids, but it's going to help the adults that read this book to their children, because a lot of adults are going through this because they can't look at themselves in the mirror because of that self-doubt. Yeah, it was so then he was crying, I was crying, and then
Aww.
it was so good. And at the end of it, I told him it wasn't even just about the book, it was about me. It was about the release. I released so much of my past life and all of those beliefs in myself. It was just like something came over me, and I needed to write that out to help other children, but it was also my release. And ever since then, the energy has shifted in myself.
I love it. And that goes back to what we were saying earlier about, like, everyone has a story to tell, but it's when the author releases it. That's like another story. And just from what you're telling me, like, I just it's like a feeling of like freedom of just saying like, oh, like it's out. This is my story. This is going to expire. And then like you take your moment, your crown moment, and it's like, like my crown is on, like I'm here and I'm present. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I
Yeah.
love that. Your crown is on. And it's, yeah, like I love that. And it's when a person finds out that it is what they believe about themselves. It's not about what other people think.
Yeah. That
There's a saying, and I can't remember who said it, but it was a saying about, it's not mine, but it was another saying, and it's about it's not about who I think I am, it's not about who you think I am, it's about who I think you think I am. And it took me a long time to get through that and try and decipher that and figure out, like, kind of analyze and go, what are they talking about? But it's because it's we might think that we're a good person, and I might look at the mirror and go, yeah, I like myself, I love myself.
Yeah.
I see other people right away. We're judging. We're going, oh, they think I'm this. They're looking at the way I look. They're looking at, it's because it's still inside of us.
Yeah.
We're still thinking of that inside of us, because how we feel inside is generating the energy, is going out, and that's what is out and reflecting out to the world, right?
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. And I think I love when you say the word energy because, that's like we literally like give off energy with people. And when you said about like, what you see me or how you see me, I was thinking about like my favorite quote is like your opinion or your thought of me is like none of my business. Like it's not even supposed to like I'm not even like supposed to like temper like know what you think of me. Because like
Exactly.
it's not like I can like you said I can be the most perfect person in the world, but the person next to me would be like, she's evil. And it's like, wait a minute. So now I'm thinking like, well, how did I become evil? So my reflection of me being perfect is like, it's gone, and using that example, but yeah.
I love that too. And that's funny, because I say that a lot. I say that saying a lot.
Yeah.
And like, I was always raised very strong of what are other people going to think. And it was only a few months ago when my mom said that. She goes, well, what are other people going to think? And I said, Mom, it's none of our business. She went,
No.
what? And I said, I don't care what other people think of me. It's what I think of myself. Because
Yeah.
if I know I'm a good person, and I'm putting off positive energy, and I'm trying to help others and show up as my best self every day, then and leave people with an impression of increase,
Yeah.
then that is that that then I fulfilled what I'm supposed to be doing that day. And my passion is to be excited about doing that.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, and even with that, I also believe in God and pray. And I was like, well, increase my self-awareness of me. That way, if I know that, I may not be the best of person, then I am aware of that. And I can fix it and pray on it and learn how to, change that. But yeah, what people think of us is none of our business.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about having control over ourselves, and it's
Yeah.
about having control over the way we think.
Right.
If
Very
we're
true.
doing our own thinking, then yeah, it's great. But if we're allowing other people to do our thinking for us, like my family, my brother's a truck driver, my dad was a truck driver, so I teach the trucks. And when I first started doing it, I was excited. because I was one of the boys. I'm the only girl in the family, and I was one of the
Yeah.
boys.
Yeah.
And now I sit back and go, you know, it's not even the trucks that excites me. It's the teaching that excites me. It's
I'm
the
so bad.
helping people that excites me. And when I had told my brothers and my dad one day, I said, you know, I think I'm going to really focus on my book and helping like the children, because this is where it begins, is as a child.
Yeah.
And they thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know, like it runs in the family. And I went, exactly. It doesn't mean that every I, you know, something that we've always told our girls is, do not become your parents. If you want to do what I do, then fantastic. But if you don't, then I am so grateful, because you need to show up as your best self every day. Do what you want, because everybody has a certain gift and a certain purpose.
Yeah.
And my gifts might not be your gifts, right? Like when
Right.
my girls were little, underneath the Christmas tree, we always had Christmas presents. And because they're only a year apart, they always had the same thing. And now we, and it's funny because now we give them different things. So I never thought about it actually till now. And I thought, yeah, you know, they have different gifts now. We all have different gifts to open, because
Oh,
we
that's
all have
very
different
true.
purposes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't let anybody steal your gift, because they're stealing your joy. They're
Yeah.
stealing your
That's a crown moment. Thank you.
purpose. You're welcome.
So, Miss Sandy, can you just tell the crowns out there where they can find you, your website or the socials that you're on?
Yes, you can find me at Sandy. I am. So it's Sandy hyphen, actually, Sandy hyphen I am. And it's not I am, it's I am. Because it's the letters I, the letters M, .com. And I just started the website. So I am just starting to add new stuff to it. My book is going to be out. It's called Believe. And that is my first children's book, and it will be out. Pajmina said about the week before the US Thanksgiving. So I
Okay.
am so excited about that.
Yay.
And then, well, yeah, and once that's out, I do have another one that's already wrote. It's in my computer, and it's about Santa's first Christmas, and it's really, really good. And again, it is really, it's not just about the Christmas, it's about the feeling of Christmas. Connection of trying to get the people to go back to their childhood and bring out that inner child again. See,
I love
I never had Christmas when I grew up. We never
it.
had it. So this book was really special to me, because I, even though I didn't have Christmas, but I still understood the feeling of it.
Right, which is
Yeah.
big.
Yeah, and that's what the book is about. And my first daughter, my first Christmas, my first daughter was born Christmas Day.
Aw, that's your present.
It's kind, it's really neat. And so that is, as soon as I wrote the book Believe, and it's going to be out, and I'm so excited about it. It's going to have an activity book coming out,
Oh, good.
so that the kids can like have their own mirror in the activity book and write their own feelings, write their own journals, their own gratitude of what they're grateful for. And it's gonna also going to be a coloring book, so they can color it. Yeah, those are just the tools that I wanted to add in. It's because I wanted to add in like some of the ones that help me through, like a journal, and so it's something that the parents can also do with them, and
Right.
it's something that a school can even do. And just to get the kids to open up.
I love that because I don't think I see too many journals for gratitude for children. So that's very important. None that I can think
It
of.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we're examples. Like we have examples. Like we do examples for, like I my daughter does a journal every morning. I do a journal every morning. So we are leading that example with our grandkids. Well, and with her kids. And
Yeah.
so that they can talk about it, and they go, oh, okay, that's what gratitude's about.
Yeah, I'm thinking now, like, yeah, I'm gonna get my nephew like a notebook. Say thankful for something.
Yeah. And that's why we decided to do the activity book along with it, so that it kind of goes hand in hand. So it's not just a reading book, it's actually a book that it engages it, because you have to have, it's more important to have a connection, because when
Yeah.
you connect to the story, then it really, really helps.
Right. I love
Yeah.
that. So Miss Sandy's gonna give us a whole package. Love it.
Yeah.
Was there
Yes.
anything else that you wanted to share with the crowds out there before we go?
Think so. I'm just really grateful that you invited me on your program, and that I got to share this with you. And I'm so excited about this and this journey, and have you been part of it.
Awesome. Thank you for saying yes to being on the show, because you also had a choice. So
Yeah, you're welcome.
thank you for saying yes. So in closing, to my crowns out there, of course we have the crowns.com website where Miss Sandy's information will be, along with the link to her book once it is released. So to my crowns out there also, thank you so much for pressing play. I hope that this episode has a lot of takeaway crown moments for me. It has. I believe, and also for Miss Sandy, allowing her to tell us her story and her inspiration for writing Believe. And from what I'm hearing and having this conversation, I am sure that I will get a copy of Believe for myself, for my inner child. I always have to nurture her. So thank you again to my crowns out there. Please don't forget that you are crowned, and don't forget your crown. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See.